All right. Hello, everybody. Hi. This is Dr. Doug here, and I'm doing another podcast. We're back to the internet doing our podcast. And today I'm interviewing Kathy Kurth, who is probably the most well-known audiologist here in Scottsdale. She's smiling because she thinks that's an overstatement, but I don't think it is. Certainly she has a great reputation, and she treats our patients wonderfully. So welcome, Kathy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathy. You know, you've been here for a while, and I guess if you could just briefly give us a bit of your background, just so we all know you.
I've been practicing here in Scottsdale for about 30 years. I started when I was about five, I wish.
Yeah, right.
And I've had the opportunity to work with so many amazing patients, people who we've been able to change their lives because of their ability to hear again, people who were reluctant in the beginning where it really did make a big difference and they came back admitting, wow, why didn't I do something sooner? So I think it's just a great opportunity to be a part of people's lives and help them through improving communication skills.
Very good. And obviously this is a passion of yours. You really
enjoy
it.
Absolutely. I fell into it accidentally and have loved it ever since. And I think anything we do today, we have to have a passion for, as most of all of my patients who know Dr. Doug already know his incredible passion for what he does. So we're
that.
All very lucky to be able to do what we love to do.
Very good. I agree with that completely. And thanks for saying that about me. I appreciate that my patients notice that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, audiology issues and sort of what you think is the most important thing patients should know about hearing issues as it affects them. What do you think?
Well, first of all, hearing loss occurs at least 50% or more for anybody 50, 55 or older. So we know that half of us by our mid-50s could have hearing loss. By the time we reach 70s and 80s, two out of every three will have hearing loss. And yet less than, let's put it in perspective, 36 million Americans have hearing loss and less than 20% do anything about their hearing. And a very small percentage will get a hearing test in many cases until it's a real serious issue for them, whether it be health related because they're not hearing and understanding, affects cognitive functions, or it just affects their ability to interact socially with people around them.
And why do you think people are not getting their hearing tested?
Well, unlike yourself, who's very concerned about hearing and encourages your patients to get tested, statistics show us that less than 13% of primary and internal physicians for their patients 55 and older are even recommending a screening. So it should be a routine part of any physical by our mid-50s, and it's not being done. Many times patients will say, well, I hear fine one-on-one. Everybody else mumbles. If they just speak up a bit. In other words, we're making excuses for what is very simply a hearing loss and should be tested.
So now you mentioned about screening. How does that work for people to come and get screening? Is that a Medicare service, or is that something that you can provide to them? And if so, how does that take place?
Well, first of all, a screening we can do at no charge. It's not a full evaluation, so it would not be something covered by Medicare, as it's only the screening to identify normal hearing from potential hearing loss.
Okay, so somebody can come to you and call up your offices, and you have a few offices in town. So call and say, I just want a screening test. Right. And you're like, that won't be any charge. We'll just assess you and tell you how your hearing is.
I would much prefer to see people get those screenings, get them done accurately under proper test conditions in a test booth being done by doctoral degree audiologists, and make sure that that test is done accurately. And we're more than happy to offer screenings at no charge. It's an important start to learn about hearing health care. So we're happy to do that.
Very good. That's nice. I mean, that's a great thing you offer. And so patients would just call your office. How long does it take to do sort of the whole process? Obviously, they fill out paperwork and so forth, but the process itself is a...
Usually a test. The test itself will take us about 15 minutes, then time to go over the test. So we generally like to schedule at least a 30-minute appointment, longer if necessary. So, and these are things we do. And again, that time is... we're happy to do it. There is no charge for that visit either.
And question for you, when somebody comes in to do that, So you have a discussion afterwards about the results, and then the results are immediate. People hear exactly what's going on.
They're
going
to have their test results as soon as we're finished. We'll go over in detail what the test results mean and how this would impact them based on some of the things they reported when they came in on their questionnaire. What areas of difficulty do you have? What bothers you? We'll be able to show them why. So you go out to a restaurant and you're really struggling to enjoy the conversation. Or you're in a family gathering and you can hear the person next to you, but you can't hear anybody else down the table. These are signs of what we call high pitch or high frequency hearing loss. You're missing consonants.
And so, and you're doing that based on the questionnaire they're going to fill out. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to get some objective measure in an actual audio in a booth.
Correct.
A soundproof booth, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's what you call them. And then you review the information. Fascinating. I mean, I think it's a tremendous amount of information people get just from a screening. Question for you. So then you sit down to them, and you obviously, because it's so very common, people are going to have hearing loss. There's going to be some degree or another for most people, not everybody. And so what are the cutoffs for, like, this is enough to cause issue for you? What sort of generalizations are there on that?
Generally, if we look at hearing loss by percentage, and even that's difficult, if you have good low-frequency hearing but significant high-pitched hearing loss, it still may skew that percentage to be more favorable. So it's not just looking at, say, a 15 or 20% hearing loss, but how does that hearing impact that individual and the people around them on a daily basis?
It's very individualized based on, even though the results are going to have specific numbers, that doesn't dictate the treatment or the recommended treatment.
Right.
And when somebody has this diminished hearing, you're like, well, this is enough that you should really strongly consider doing something about this. What are the arguments in favor? Why do you say this should be done? I know it's more than just, well, you'll be able to hear people and you won't be saying, what did you say, and that kind of thing. There are more important issues health-wise, mentally, and so forth.
Right. Well, we see today hearing loss is correlated with cognitive disorder. We had studies done. You can even look at the Johns Hopkins study from 2011. You should know that institution well.
I know the institution, don't know the study, so
yeah.
Tell me more.
It was a Dr. Frank Lim, and they looked at it. It was a smaller sample, but they still saw a correlation between dementia and untreated hearing loss. So we know how important it is to stimulate the brain in terms of memory tasking and many of our mental tasking. It's equally important to stimulate the brain auditorily, language, communication. And how all of this evolves, you can start to lose hearing, you withdraw from activities you like, you start to isolate yourself from those activities. It can lead to depression, and it leads to cognitive issues. So the sooner you identify hearing loss and the sooner you look at appropriate treatment, long term, you're going to be a lot better off.
You know, I think that's obviously hugely important. I know how many of my patients are concerned about what's going on with their memory. I think there's also a perception of patients as they get older. That is, if they're saying, I don't hear you, what did you say? Or they maybe answer a question that they think they hear and they don't hear it correctly. And then they answer some response that makes no sense. You know, depending on what the situation is, somebody may actually just pretend like they didn't hear them. They may think they're losing it a little bit. I mean, this is probably a big issue, I'm guessing, for executive types and people who are really still in the work world, not necessarily executives, just people working who are, like, interacting with a younger group. They're not interacting only with their peers. Do you find that's a motivator for people?
Well, it should be a motivator because, again, we've got research studies that look at people in the workplace with hearing loss may make as much as $30,000 less per year. They have almost double the rate of unemployment over those who have good hearing. So, unfortunately, hearing loss impacts us in a tremendous amount of ways. And in the workplace, it's critical. And we see more and more younger people who want to be sure to have the jobs and be able to hear well and not lose the position they have or be passed over for a promotion simply because of hearing. So it's very critical.
Interesting. I guess you better hear what the boss says. I suppose it's among the things they've got to do.
Whether you want to.
Yes, right, exactly. What'd you say? Well, I got a few questions on that, Mark. One is, I've noticed over the years that now that the equipment that people get, the devices, are so much more comfortable. I remember, and I'm sure you were endlessly dealing with patients who had very subtle bother from the different hearing instruments that you're using, the different audiology devices, hearing aids. Nowadays, I almost never hear a patient complain about how it functions or feels in the ear. And is that because of the new technologies?
Absolutely. We're seeing as high as 96% satisfaction ratings. At least this was one study in particular. We're seeing hearing aids are totally invisible, so whether they're extended wear, where they can stay in your ears for up to 3 months, or daily wear, where you do take them in and out, they're virtually invisible. But more importantly than any of that is the electronics, the technology, the engineering. How do we manipulate sounds to give you as much speech and clarity and as little interference of background noise, which is much more of a problem with what we call sensory neural hearing loss? And we're doing amazing today. Very few adjustments once they're programmed, as opposed to people coming back for countless visits,
yes,
saying these don't work. But there's a lot of factors in getting that right technology and getting to that right professional.
So it has to be individualized to the person, their needs, and so forth. So I'm just curious. I mean, over the past, let's say, 10 years, I take it it's much more pleasant experience fitting somebody, getting them the proper equipment, and being satisfied with it. I think that's a much more immediate kind of experience than it used to be, where there was a lot of fiddling to get them to a satisfied spot.
Today, we just can make it so much easier to get people comfortable with hearing again, quality of sound, clarity of sound, minimal interference of background noise. And we're even seeing companies like Apple step up to the plate, providing technology through the apps with at least three different manufacturers where people can really fine-tune their settings. They can do something called geotag, which means they have memory. The next time they go back to that restaurant or that venue they like, the aids will automatically self-adjust based on how they set them the first time. So we really are 21st century, finally.
Well, that's cool. That's really neat. And people obviously have to have an iPhone or whatever, or is it on the Android too, the other phones
we'll
as well?
We'll probably see it on Androids, but we're not there yet. So right now, only Apple has stepped up to the plate and offered any hearing aid manufacturer the opportunity to work with the iPhone or the iPad in having that technology available at their fingertips.
Well, that's cool. Now, I'm just curious, just for that specifically, do the people have to have their iPhone with them when they're functioning with their hearing aid, or only when they were doing adjustments and things like this?
Only if you're going to need to use the app, or let's say you want to live stream music or a podcast, perhaps, or you're listening to having a conversation on the phone or some type of phone conference. All of that you do live streaming through the phone, and it's totally wireless. We have no wires connected from the phone to the hearing aid, so it's pretty neat.
Wow. So this person with the hearing aid is talking on their phone, and it's basically doing a Bluetooth into their ear directly.
It's Bluetooth into their ear, and there's no Bluetooth interface around their neck with some of the companies. It's what they call 2.4 gigahertz, so we're using some of the most sophisticated Bluetooth platforms for the hearing aids.
Wow. That is cool. Question for you now. So just to switch gears a little bit, just curious about the things that we need to do to sort of protect our hearing, or what are the things that you recommend that people are careful with with hearing? Is that too long a list?
No. I think it's so important because I can give you firsthand experience. I have gone to a class called SPIN, which is indoor cycling, for years. And the music is incredibly loud, and you'd think an audiologist would know better. And for years, I never wore earplugs. And I now have high-frequency hearing loss with tinnitus ringing in the ears, and I did it to myself. So we know how incredibly important it is that if you're going to be exposed to loud noise, whether it's short-term, long-term, get proper ear protection. Whether you go and buy plugs in the store or you get custom-molded earplugs, protect your ears. Because the number one health issue our vets are coming back with is hearing loss and tinnitus or ringing in the ears. So here's a preventable type of hearing loss.
And actually, speaking of ringing the ears, I had a patient who had some problems with tinnitus. You helped him greatly by some specialized custom hearing devices, I guess, or they were actually hearing aids or plugs or whatever to quiet the noise.
Right.
So these are, and they actually fitted and had different inserts or something.
Yeah, they all have like different filters, because along with the hearing loss, people have something called hyperacusis. They'll have an extreme sensitivity to loud noise, and so they need a special type of earplug where we can have different filters for different strengths of noise reduction. And some of these people could barely go out and be in noisy environments without it just being unbearable. And these earplugs are now allowing them to enjoy a more normal life.
And I'm curious about that just real quick. Are those actual plugs, or are those some sort of electronic device? Or they're not electronic at all? They're just blocking
the sound? They're strictly acoustic. So it's a custom-made ear mold with a special little filter inside, just dampening that louder sound. And they can change them out for different environments. There are electronic ones that are used by a lot of shooters today, which electronically will shut down with a loud noise.
Oh, really? I got a question for you. So other things that you'd suggest, I mean, I think, like many people, I'm probably guilty of using my little headphones and turning those up. Do you have a volume level that you tell people this is a way you can tell whether or not you're listening to it a little too loud? Or what do you suggest on that?
Absolutely. Both the Android phones or any phone that has an app, so any smartphone, you can download a noise level meter or a decibel meter. Really? And what you do is you go ahead and turn that meter on. Put the earbud at the level that you're listening it in your ear. Put it close to the phone and let it run for about 15 seconds to sample and see how loud it is. Anything in excess of probably about 85 to 90 dB for more than an hour or two is going to be damaging. Now imagine if it's 100 dB or 105, and we like things loud when it comes to our music. We might be able to have 15 minutes of exposure before it's going to be damaging. So it doesn't take much, and it's cumulative over the years.
Now, along those lines, I'm just thinking about venues. You know, they love some of these football stadiums, love to, you know, get excited about how many decibels they can generate, jet engine levels and so forth. I take it you must just be shocked and think this is the most crazy idea, that this is somehow
good. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And it's been reported and recorded. I think one of the worst, and I'm not picking on any teams, is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
And it's been measured at 105 to 110. I'd love to know what it's like in our Cardinals stadium, especially now that they're playing so well.
Yeah.
That is incredibly loud.
So do you recommend people take like an earplug?
Take earplugs. Just get the phone plugs you can get at the store. Any type of an appropriate earplug, you're protecting your hearing that you've got for the rest of your life. So when it's loud, wear ear protection.
Now, do people have hearing loss? Are they more sensitive to the additional loss?
Mm-hmm.
As a result, so a person who says my hearing is not that good, so I'm probably protected, is actually maybe wrong about that?
Oh, they're wrong, because now even though you've got hearing loss, that loud sound continues and kills off more of the hair cells in the inner of the cochlea. So they're at even greater risk. So no, they're not protected against louder sound because they already have hearing loss, and they'll have a lower tolerance for louder sound. So we call that recruitment. Small changes in loudness sound like big changes in loudness to them.
No, okay, now I'm confused about what that recruitment idea is. So small changes in loudness. So a person whose hearing is impaired cannot sense the changes in the volume as well?
They're
more sensitive to
They're more sensitive to increases in loudness than somebody with normal hearing. So it's
really?
Due to the damage.
So the opposite of what you would think,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So they don't get to tolerate more. They tolerate actually less loud sound.
Okay, so just the opposite of what we would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, all right, so really, I mean, obviously, number one on your list of things is people need to get their hearing tested to really know where they sit, so they have an honest, objective measure of how much it's affecting them. Number two, they can do that at your place. Obviously, you're willing to do that for them at no charge and then give them the information. I think that's tremendous. And I think anybody who's got an issue, particularly husbands who are being told by their wives, which I think is, I know, a little cliche, but it's very common. I imagine you hear that.
Selective
quite a bit.
Listening.
Yes.
Or selective hearing.
Now, is this some evolutionary protection method? No, I'm just kidding. The men can't hear their wives anymore? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so number two, all right, we get it assessed, and then we decide whether we need augmentation or not. And if we do, we get it because it helps our brain. It helps us maintain our brain function longer. It helps people who are younger maintain their viability as far as in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
What other things were you adding to that? I just want to sort of
summarize. Well, think of daily communication. You want to go out and be with friends, the ability to socialize and enjoy the conversation around the table. Who wants to be sitting there hearing only every third word or missing the punchline or going home and feeling so tired after an evening out because their brain was working so hard to hear and interpret what was going on at the table. So it's just amazing all the subtle ways hearing loss affects us, and sometimes we don't even realize it. Or how frustrating is it to ask somebody to repeat twice? You're not going to ask the third time. So we miss out on so much of life simply because of hearing loss, and it's so easy to improve.
And what do you hear from patients, speaking of that? I mean, I take it when patients get these hearing aids, they come back and they're like, you know, I was totally underestimating how much impact this was having on my life. It's an enormous difference now that I mean, it must be gratifying.
Well, one recent one, we had a physician, he runs an ER department at one of the hospitals, and he says, you know, I think I'm losing my hearing. And everybody around him said, you need to do something. And he finally did, and he said, I'm sitting in the cafeteria, I'm at a meeting with everybody from the ER department. I think he was in charge of all the scribes. And he said it was amazing how well I could hear everybody I needed to. The vending machines were going, and it didn't bother me. And I can go out to restaurants now. So when you hear these stories, or our patients come back and say, you know, we had a big family gathering or a wedding, and I didn't miss anything. I heard it all. To me, that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, Kathy, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for educating us.
Thank you.
Thanks for offering the free screening to our patients. We'll be sure to have them aware that it's there and contact you for an appointment so they can assess their hearing function.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.